Kennedy Warne joins us on the line from Waimana, I think. Kia ora, Kennedy.
Hi, Lynn. Yes, I am in the Waimana Valley. Gosh, I wish I had too much time.
You never have enough time for everything you squeeze into your life.
Certainly not enough time to experience all the good things of Tūhoe. I'm down here in Te Uruwera, so I'm just looking across the beautiful Waimana Valley, one of the two great river valleys that are like arteries coming from the centre of Te Uruwera National Park out towards the Bay of Plenty. So that's flowing northward. So Waimana and Ruatoki are those two sort of valley systems. And each of them kind of vie with each other for sort of having the most marae per kilometre. The Waimana Valley has 12 alone. So this is the place to come to really get a sense of traditional marae-based living. So
it's just like unlike anywhere else in the country, isn't it, that land up there?
It is. And the people are, they have this word tūoitanga, which is encapsulates everything about them and their identity and their connection to the land. And, of course, this is the thing that, as I mentioned to Catherine, when I was in the other side, the southern end, Ruatahuna, a couple of weeks ago, of course, the negotiations with the Crown are all about re-establishing that connection to their mana that they feel is so integrally tied up with the land.
Now, you've been on your bike.
Yes, I've been on my bike.
You're now off your bike, but you've been on your bike.
Well, sort of a tip of the hat to the Tour de France. I did the Tour de Motu.
No drugs taken, I assume, Kennedy.
Hey?
No drugs taken.
No. Well, there's no testing, but I can assure you there weren't any. And I was going on endorphins. It was the only thing fueling me, and it was just beautiful. The what's happened is just a couple of months ago, the Motu trails, cycle trails, opened, and it's the 18th in the kind of national cycle trail network that's been, it's kind of kicked off with the Otago Rail Trail and now is proliferating. And so this is the latest one, and it's very cleverly organized into three separate sections. So you can pick your comfort level, your exercise level, your preference. And it starts with a 19-kilometre section through sand dunes from Opotiki eastward. So you've got Whakatane, then Opotiki, and so you can just ride a very gentle, undulating ride, excellent for families and kids along the dunes. And then if you want to get a bit more serious and get up into the Raukumara Range, you can do the next stretch, which is the Motu Road, and this is an old coach road that was created in 1914, the first vehicle route between Gisborne and Opotiki, and it's very cycle-friendly surface. It's unsealed, but it's not, you know, covered with nasty cyclist tipping gravel. It's actually quite in places. It's really quite clay and solidified, and they really look after it for the reason that they want cyclists to be using it. And that's a 78-kilometre route, gently climbing through gorgeous, gorgeous forest. I mean, deep drop-offs. You're looking across chasms where you're at eye level with the tops of the beech trees and podocarps and so forth in that area. And very few vehicles. It's a very enjoyable but somewhat relentless climb, and that goes all the way to where does that go to?
To Matawai.
Matawai, yeah. But you can jump off at a saddle, I think maybe about 65 k, somewhere like that, up there, and come down the Pākehi track, and this is getting into more serious mountain bike territory. Though again, it's not it's not hugely demanding. Anyone with a reasonable level of confidence on a bike could do this. It's not uber mountain biking risk type stuff, but it is delicious and it's all downhill and you really get into a groove going through the forest and it feels like you're skiing on wheels. So it was very good. The total loop, if you want to do it, and which I did, and it took 7 hours, is about 90 kilometres. But you could stop off at Matawai for the night. There was a big bunch of cyclists from Tauranga who did that. Or you can stay in the Pakehi hut, which is halfway down, a dock hut halfway down the Pakehi track. So there's a couple of options there. And I loved it. It was a real, real blast.
And you've sent us photographs of the ride from the gallery. I hope you stopped and stopped to take them when you're going downhill. And you're saying that you saw things along the way which were really quite delightful, even beyond the landscape.
Well, yes. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, they've been very thoughtful about how, well, I think they've just picked an excellent ride, because not only can you have an environmental, you know, just a lovely encounter with nature, and you've got the sea, you can stop off for a dip if you feel like it, but up through the valleys, it's really getting into traditional farming country, and we came around a corner, and lo and behold, there were a group of farmhands breaking in horses in a little tiny valley called the Rahui, and so there was a I jumped off and sat on the railings and watched another form of transportation being made ready for action. So yeah, it was those sort of surprises. I also should disclose that a couple of hunters, hunting parties, came past with utes and gave us a bit of a lift. We were running short of time, so you know, again, one of those little backcountry encounters. Yes, chuck your bikes on the back and we'll take you to the top. So. So you know, those are the sort of things that just make this kind of ride, this kind of experience, extra special.
I've only left you about 2.5 minutes, but we were going to talk about some little buggy-type vehicles.
Oh, well, look, on the way here, I stopped at a little place called Turukenga. That's near Mamaku. It's between Hamilton and Rotorua. I stopped just for a bite of lunch, and it's beside a railway, and four little buggy-type things turned up. They look like golf, very flash golf carts, and fully enclosed, running on, on train wheels. And it turns out that it's according to their website, which is Rail Cruising, the world's first fully automated petrol-electric rail cruiser. So they're little hybrid vehicles, and you can hire them and go for a 2-hour return journey along this little stretch of the old Rotorua line, which is not used for actual trains anymore, so it's available. But I was fascinated because they were all in a high state of excitement and dusting the platform and so forth. It turned out the Prime Minister was about to take a ride, and so I was chatting to one of the people, and he said, well, perhaps I'm oversensitive to irony, but the thing is, you have the impression of being in full control, but actually it's all programmed from outside. So I sort of wondered if there was a little vaguely political comment there. So anyway, that's the rail cruisers of Mamaku Plateau.
So what a gorgeous idea, though. I mean, sadly, it's also a bit of a comment on the fact we have far too few trains, you know, in some beautiful areas of the country. But it's a fabulous kind of use of the lines, isn't it?
You can hear the history of the line. It's got commentary inside, and gaze out at Lake Rotorua as you're tootling along for a couple of hours along a very pleasant stretch of you wouldn't see it otherwise. So you know, just a little section of bush and hill country just outside of Rotorua. So a new tourist option if you're visiting Rotorua this winter.
Sounds gorgeous. Rail cruising. I love it. Thank you very much, Kennedy Warne. You're just resting those tired muscles today, are you, Kennedy?
Yes, I'm about to jump in a helicopter to go and listen to Kokako, my all-time favourite forest bird.
It'll
be my first Kokako in the wild, so I'm very looking forward to that.
Oh, fabulous. I'm very jealous. Thank you very much, Kennedy Warne. And Kennedy has sent us photographs, as you can see, on our website.